Once again, we'd like to welcome everyone to our service this morning, and very glad to have our visitors this morning. The theme and the topic this month for myself, when our heart is right with God, we will be fair and just to all men. And I'm pretty sure I know why this topic was given to me. You see, I've been in the car business for 47 years. And I think there is a phrase in this profession that might have been coined that has this word just in it. And that phrase is not, we will be fair and just with you, but that phrase is, just trust me. And so this morning, I'm going to do my best to bring a lesson concerning this topic. This morning, as I was getting ready and going back over the lesson, I was online, and there was an article in OPATH Advocate that was written by Brother Aaron Boone. And as I read through this article, I thought it was a very good article to use as an introduction for our lesson this morning. And the article was entitled, Should I Follow My Heart? He said there are a few phrases that society has embraced, like the phrase, follow your heart. It is a statement that is found in numerous stories, movies, songs, and often used as the answer to some of life's toughest questions. In truth, those who stand by this phrase believe that the heart is a compass that will guide you to your own true north and true happiness if you only would have the courage to follow it. As it is believed, your heart will never lead you astray. How beautiful and liberating this is. The problem, none of these quips are biblically supportable. In fact, instead of trusting our hearts, we are to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Instead of following our hearts, we are to give our trust to the Lord with the promise of guidance to those who choose to follow Him. When we search for direction in life, our compass must be based on the truth and the light. John 17 and verse 17. Psalms 119, verse 105. But if man still chooses to reject this truth, God says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? Jeremiah 17 and verse 19. God makes clear two reasons why no one should bind himself to following his heart. It is deceitful and it is wicked. It doesn't take much to see that the heart is not leadership material, but the heart has an opportunity to be good and wise if it is willing to receive commands. Proverbs 10 and verse 8. A person's life is a reflection of his heart. Proverbs 4 and 23 states it like this, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Therefore, we must guard our hearts and watch over them so that our heart follows hard after the things of God. If we first humble ourselves before God, if we can put our ego to the side, our heart can become a great benefit. In the sight of God, a heart that is humbled and pure is a blessing. Matthew 5 and verse 8. And it is this same heart that when humbled before God is where we keep His word. Proverbs 7 and verse 3. The heart has endless possibility of good, but only when humbled before God will the church and the Christian flourish. The heart, like any coin, has two sides. But unlike a coin, the outcome of which side our heart is on is not left up to chance. We have to make the decision whether to serve God or to place ourselves as idols above God. God, a decision we get wrong every day. Man continues to try to keep God out of the picture, but they fail to realize that pretending to be independent from God leads people down a path of their own ideals of happiness, success, and fulfillment. Our theme and our topic this month come from a sermon that Brother Hawkins gave during our gospel meeting. The title of his lesson, Is Your Heart Right with God? He said it was a question in the present tense, that we must always be conscious of our time in the present. The question is to you, each and every one of you, is your heart right with God? Solomon said in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So a man is what he thinks in his heart. Brother Hawkins used the text of Acts 8 and verse 18. There it says, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. You see, Simon thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. And Solomon said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Do we honor God with our heart? As we read in the article of the OPA in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And in Matthew 15 and verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And in Matthew 15 and verse 8, Jesus said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Matthew 12 and verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. If our heart is right with God, our life is right with God. Brother Hawkins listed 10 things that are right if our heart is right with God. He said when our heart is right with God, we will put first things first. We will delight in coming to the worship service. We will live a virtuous life and do our duty. We will be full of good works. We will have pure speech. We will be fair and just to all men. We will look like a Christian. We will love the brethren. We will give cheerfully. And we will be at peace with God. The only verse in the Bible where we find the two words fair and just is Colossians 4 and verse 1. And there it speaks of masters and their behaviors toward their slaves. Colossians 4 and 1, masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And although this is the only verse, that there still are many verses that have the same context. I know this, that being fair and just to others is not the same in God's eyes as it is through the eyes of men. So what is it to be fair and just to the brethren and to our fellow man? Looking at the Greek word for the word fair, it is isotas, Strong's word number G2471. It means likeness in condition or proportion. By implication, equity or equality. We find in 2 Corinthians 8 in verse 12 through verse 14 or through verse 15, there it says, "For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack." The word fair has to do with things that are equal. It seems that the Corinthians had delayed in making a collection for the needy saints at Jerusalem, hoping that they would be able to send more at a later date. The Apostle Paul reminds them that it is not a question of how much they send, but if there is a real desire in their heart to have fellowship in this good matter, then God accepts their gift, however small it may be. It is the attitude of the heart that counts. Paul's purpose is not to put the Corinthians under financial strain. His thought is not that the Jerusalem church should be at ease and the Corinthian church burdened, because in verse 14, it describes God's way for the relief of want in the church of Christ. The Lord's purpose is that whenever a need exists in one area among Christians, then there should be a flow of funds from other areas to that needed spot. This constant flow and inner flow of funds would result in an equality among the churches worldwide. At the time Paul was writing this, there would be a flow of funds from Corinth, from Macedonia, and other places to Jerusalem. But perhaps in the future, the saints at Jerusalem might be well cared for, whereas there may be a definite lack in Corinth. In such an instance, the flow of funds would be reversed. That is what Paul means by this verse. The need was in Jerusalem, but sometime in the future, it could be in Corinth. And in that case, others would help them. The principle of fairness is emphasized by a quotation from Exodus 16 and verse 18. When the children of Israel went out to gather manna, some were able to gather more than others, but it didn't matter. When the manna was distributed, each man received the same amount. It said one omer, or about 5 pints. So he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. And if anyone tried to hoard manna, it bred worms. Now the Greek word for just is dikaios, Strong's word number G1349. It means equitable in character or act. By implication, innocent, holy, absolutely, or relatively. It means just, meet, and righteous. Thayer's definition, righteous, observing divine and human laws, one who is such as he ought to be. In a wide sense, it means upright, righteous, virtuous, keeping the commands of God. In Matthew 1, verse 18 through verse 20, the Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." The meaning is that it was not consistent with his uprightness to expose his betrothed to public reproach. How do you think people of the world today would handle a similar situation? Maybe first tell a friend, or maybe a family member, and next, maybe we greet it on Facebook. Joseph was a just man. I want you to notice what it says in verse 20. But while he thought about those things. Remember what Solomon said? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 11 in verse 1. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Crooked merchants sometimes had two sets of weights, one for buying and one for selling. The buying weights were heavier than they should have been, so that he got more merchandise than he paid for. The selling weights were lighter than the standard, so that the customer got less than they paid for. There are dishonest practices in business today that come under this ban on dishonest scales, as well as applications in school life, in our social life, in our home life, and also in our church life. In a narrow sense, the word just means rendering to each his due, and that in a judicial sense, passing judgment on others, whether expressed in words or shown by the manner of dealing with them. What is the application for us today? How can we be sure that we are dealing with one another in the proper way? Jeremiah 17, verse 9 through 11. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. As a partridge that broods but does not hatch, so is he who gets riches, but not by right. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and at his end, he will be a fool. God knows man's deceitful heart and will punish the man who gets riches dishonestly. Like a partridge that hatches eggs that she did not lay, so are those who get their wealth by unjust means. Matthew Henry said concerning this, "There is that wickedness in our hearts which we ourselves are unaware of and do not suspect to be there. Nay, it is a common mistake among the children of men to think themselves their own hearts, at least, a great deal better than they really are. The heart, the conscience of man, in his corrupt and fallen state, is deceitful above all things. It is subtle and false. It is apt to supplant, so the word properly signifies. It is that form which Jacob had his name, a supplanter. It calls evil good and good evil. It puts false colors upon things and cries peace to those whom peace does not belong. When men say in their hearts, that is, suffer their hearts to whisper to them, that there is no God, or he does not see, or he will not require, or they shall have peace, through they go on. In these, in a thousand similar suggestions, the heart is deceitful. It cheats men into their own ruin. And this will be the aggravation of it, that they are self-deceivers, self-destroyers. Herein the heart is desperately wicked. It is deadly. It is desperate. The case is bad indeed, and in a manner deplorable and past relief. If the conscience would just rectify the errors of the other faculties, is itself a mother of falsehood and a ringleader of delusion. What will become of a man if that in him which should be the candle of the Lord give a false light? If God's deputy in the soul, that is entrusted to support his interest betrays him. Such is the deceitfulness of the heart that we may truly say, who can know it? Who can describe how bad the heart is? We need to understand that if our heart is not right with God, we sometimes can justify the unrighteous dealings that we have with others. When our heart is right with God, we will be fair and just with all men. When Jesus is asked, which is the great commandment in the law? He said in Matthew 22:37-40, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In a masterful way, the Lord Jesus summarizes man's obligation to God as the first and the great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And in Mark's account, he adds the phrase, and with all your strength. This means that man's first obligation is to love God with his total being. The heart speaks of the emotional nature, the soul of the volitional nature, the mind of the intellectual nature, and strength of the physical nature. Then Jesus added that man's second responsibility is to love his neighbor as himself. Albert Barnes says, love to God and man comprehends the whole of religion. And to produce this has been the design of Moses, the prophets, the Savior, and the apostles. We should consider often the words, love your neighbor as yourself. We should think of how very much we love ourselves, of how much our activity centers around in care and comfort for ourselves. Then we should try to imagine what it would be like if we showered that love on our neighbors. Then we should do it. Such behavior is not natural. It is supernatural. Only those who have been born again can do it, and then only by allowing Christ to do it through them. When our heart is right with God, we will be fair and just to all men. In closing, is your heart right with God? Are you fair and just to all men? Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And in Psalms 119:9-11, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Have you devoted all of yourself to the Lord? There is one that is subject to the gospel call, and bid you come while we stand in silence.